I'd like to have you turn, if you will, please, to the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 28 and verse 16. Isaiah 28, verse 16. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste.
There are many descriptive titles given to our Lord, many figures of speech which are used to describe both his person and his work. And in our selection this morning, we have this as a name that is given to him, a stone. And the first reference that we might look at with regard to that is found in Genesis 49, verse 24. Genesis 49, verse 24. Not time this morning to go into all the details of this. This is the blessing of Jacob upon his sons, and in verse 24, he's speaking of Joseph, but his bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. And then in parentheses, from thence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. The stone of Israel. Our subject this morning really divides itself very simply into two portions. The first deals with the fact of its being foretold, and the second, the fact of its being fulfilled. And so we're asking the question, or rather looking at this subject and seeing what the Bible says he is. What he is. He is the stone of Israel. And then as we turn back to our text in Isaiah 28, we find that there is an ascent. There is a development as if piling one thought upon another until we really understand that this is something tremendous. And so we'll read that again. Verse 16 of the 28th chapter of Isaiah. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone. And he goes on to describe that stone. He said it is a tried stone. Now that word tried can mean a tested stone. And not only a stone that is tested, but a stone that tests. And for this, I'd like you to turn to Matthew 21, verses 42 to 44, where we see the stone testing. Matthew 21, 42 to 44. Jesus said unto them, Did ye never read in the scriptures, The stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner? This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore I say unto you, The kingdom of God shall be taken from you, and shall be given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it shall grind to powder. There is the stone testing. But of course, for our benefit and blessing this morning, it's nice to think of the Lord Jesus as being a tested and a proved and a tried stone. Don't you get the picture thing? Here is God thinking about a building. And without anticipating another part of our message this morning, yet let me say this. He's looking for a stone that will be the corner, the most important stone. The stone that will give direction to the entire building. A stone that will give cohesion and coordination to the whole building. And he's looking for a stone that will prove itself capable of being all that God wants it to be. I want to submit to you that a stone to be capable of all that God wants it to be has got to be a proved and a tried stone. And where else could he turn but to his own beloved son for such as that, as we shall see later? But to your comfort and mine this morning, the prophet here tells how God says it is a tested stone. It This was surely brought out during his life. Was he a tested stone? He was in all points tempted like as we are. In the wilderness, we see him enduring that which Adam could not endure. We see him enduring that which Israel was unable to perform. He met Satan at every turn, a tried and proved and tested stone. But then it goes on. Because of this, he is a precious cornerstone. A precious cornerstone. And then the last thing that's said about him here is this, that he is a sure foundation. Now the literal meaning is this, a foundation founded. It's one of those Hebrewisms in which they're trying to emphasize the fact that this foundation is secure, it's solid, it's immovable, and all the words that you can pile into it, it's a foundation founded. How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for what? Your faith in his excellent word, a sure, a tried, a perfect foundation. So much for the moment then as to what he is going to be. And yet we have to enlarge upon that, for there's another aspect. It is not only what he is as revealed here in this particular passage, but now we must turn to Isaiah 8:14 for another aspect of what this stone, this tried stone, this cornerstone is going to become. Isaiah 8:14. That's what he is. Now what's the reaction of some people to him? And he shall be for a sanctuary, Isaiah 8:14. He shall be for a sanctuary, but for a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense to both the houses of Israel, for a gin and for a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Again, if you will, please turn to Psalm 118, verse 22. Psalm 118, verse 22. The stone which the builders refused. That's as far as I want to go for the moment in that passage. What he is to become, he is to become a stone of stumbling, and he is to be a stone that is going to be refused. This is what was predicted of him. And that word refused there simply means, if you go over as we will later to the New Testament where it is quoted, we find that it means that the builders set him at naught. They despised the cornerstone. They had no place for it in the building that they were erecting. So it was predicted centuries before it happened that he was to be a stone that was refused by the builders. Now, without spending more time there, I want to take my second point, namely, to see these prophecies fulfilled. And in order to see that, we've got to turn to 1 Peter 2:8 as a fulfillment of Isaiah 8:14. 1 Peter, verse chapter 2, and I believe it's verse 8. And a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense even unto them which stumble at the word, being disobedient. Now, because I'm dealing with this tonight, I don't want to go into it too fully this morning, but this is a marvelous portion. And here, as you read through, as we have this verse 8, talking about Israel stumbling at this stone, you find he's talking about the nation, and we're going to call it just for the sake of convenience this morning, Israel after the flesh. Now when Jesus came in the flesh, we know that he came to his own, and his own what? Received him not. He was a stumbling stone to them. Now if you'll turn over to Romans 9 for a moment, you'll see the same truth is brought out by the apostle there. I'd like to remind you what we said in class this morning, that Romans 9, 10 and 11 is dealing with the situation of Israel during the Acts period. And so it is that we find in verses 30 and 33 of Romans 9 that we have this. What shall we say then? That the Gentiles which followed not after righteousness have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained unto the law of righteousness. Wherefore? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. For they stumbled at that stumbling stone, as it is written, Behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense. And whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Now, may I just as a side there show you the two commentary on that. Remember, it says, he that believeth shall not make haste, over in the Isaiah portion. And now it says, he that believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Well, the background of that simply is this, that he says, there's no need for you to rush away and hide yourself somewhere in the rock. He that believeth on him shall not have any occasion to make haste. He shall not be ashamed of this rock. But the Israel as a nation stumbled over this stumbling block. So much then for the stone of stumbling. It was Israel that stumbled over this stone. Now, I just make this little aside. If you're going to stumble over a stone, isn't it obvious that you stub your toe on it? Aren't you tripped up? Isn't that the meaning? And that's exactly what happened with the nation, and particularly the religious leaders that we will see in a moment. They stubbed their toes, and they stubbed their toes badly. Now I want to turn to the other portion, Psalm 118, for its fulfillment. And we'll see that again it's a matter of rejection here. And we'll turn once more to Matthew 21 and verse 42. I'd like to remind you that Mark and Luke also make reference to this idea. But we're just dealing with Matthew for the sake of convenience again. And so we have Matthew 21, verse 42. Jesus said unto them, did ye never read in the scriptures the stone which the builders rejected, refused, despised, set at naught? That's the meaning of it. His fame has become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing and is marvelous in our eyes. Now Jesus quoted literally from Psalm 118, and I'm going to ask you to turn back because there's something more there that I want to point out to you this morning. Psalm 118, verse 22, the stone which the builders refused has become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and the Septuagint, and again in the New Testament where Jesus quoted, and where it says, and this is the Lord's doing, it is, and this is of the Lord. It amounts to the same thing. This is of the Lord, and it is marvelous in our eyes that the very stone that the religious leaders of our day have cast aside as being worthless and will not fit into the scheme of things, God made that one to be the headstone. That's marvelous. Now, what I want to draw your attention to is the next verse, 24, because I believe this verse is misquoted many times. This is the day which the Lord has made. And I've heard that referred to something. Have you? Huh? This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will be glad and rejoice in it. Well, that isn't what it says here. The day that is spoken about here is the day when he shall be made the headstone of the corner. That's the day to be glad. That's the day to rejoice in, when Christ comes into his own and into his own position. And well, of course, you can say this is the day that the Lord made. Then what are you going to do with the rest of the week? Can you make that as well? And isn't that a day to rejoice in if you want to go into technicality? No, this is the day. Speaking about the marvelous thing that is appearing to us. Now let's go on. Coming back to Matthew 21. I'd like to draw your attention to something that for me, when I first saw it, was a little startling. I hope it may affect you the same way. Jesus is talking, and I want to repeat the words again. The stone which the what? The stone which what? Who are the builders? Who are the builders? The leaders of Israel, the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the leaders, the religious leaders, the national leaders, they were building. What were they building? That's what they were doing. Now, the interesting thing, I looked up Dr. A.T. Robertson on it. He was, you know, one of the greatest Greek scholars that this country has produced outside of Dr. Broder, his own teacher. And he puts in parenthesis this, against the word builders, he puts in brackets experts. They
They were the experts. Well, what were they building?
Listen, there's something significant here. They were building a program which had no place for the Son of God.
Religion? Plenty of it. They had their religion and they had their ceremonies, they had their rituals, they had their observations, they had piled law upon law upon law over on the law of God until it was a burdensome stone to the man or the woman that wanted to obey the Lord. They had all this saddle upon them. And you remember what did Jesus say? He wants so much as lift one of these burdens with your little finger. You've established them for the people, but you won't turn a hand to keep them yourself. They were building them. I believe we need to keep this in mind because Jesus is pointing this out. And I'd like to remind you what Paul said years after. Other foundation can no man lay than that is laid. What is it? Which is Jesus Christ. You see? But the point is this, that here they were. They were building. What they were building was just simply something that God would destroy. And as he says here a little later, it shall be broken and ground to powder. Now, I'm not going to make too much of an observation because I think it's unnecessary. But I would like to say that so many times between the children of Israel and the so-called professing church of our day, there are many striking parallels. For instance, the children of Israel, they wandered in the wilderness. Why? Because of their unbelief. And I truly believe that the church of Jesus Christ, well, perhaps that's not the way, I'm just saying the professing church today, the nominal church, is in the wilderness. And they're wandering. They're marking time. And then I'm going to use another figure. They're building. The great church, Christendom, is building. They have a program. And what's happened to this cornerstone? They've rejected. Just as much as Israel rejected, so many of our great religious leaders of the day have no place in their program for God or for the Lord Jesus Christ. If he's mentioned, it's out of courtesy. It's a religion, and it's a religion of Jesus Christ. We have to bring it in sometime. But we are the builders. Many parallels between the two. Now let's go on. There was something else that's a little more encouraging. And I'd like to turn you again to 1 Peter 2. We'll have to keep coming back to 1 Peter this morning and again tonight because of the reference here above. This is what he says in 1 Peter 2. And I want to read verses 4 to 8. To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also as living stones are built upon a spiritual house, and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion the chief cornerstone, elect, precious. And he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe he is precious, or this is preciousness. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is become the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense. Even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto they also were appointed. Will you notice how Peter gathers up all those verses? Isaiah 8, Isaiah 28, and now Psalm 118. Puts them all together in a sort of a composite picture here. But he's saying to these people, which now we'll designate as spiritual Israel, he says to you, he's the head of the corner. You see, to those who have received Jesus Christ, he had become the head of the corner. The same is made the head of the corner. And he's become precious to them. Now I just want to bring in one more point before I go into what I believe is the burden of the message. And that is in Ephesians 2:20, we have the church which is his body mentioned under a similar figure. We had spiritual Israel. We had Israel after the flesh. Now we find that in Ephesians 2:20, this is brought to our attention. Which he wrought in Christ when he raised, chapter 1. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are built together for an habitation or a dwelling place
of God
in spirit. You have it in your Bible by the Spirit, but it's in spirit. It's in spirit that we are thus made a building, a habitation of God.
Now you say, well, now, what is the distinction? I thought you'd been making a distinction between the spiritual Israel and the church. But here, Christ is spoken of as the foundation of both.
Now listen, dear friends, can't God have more than one building? Has God got to have the one building? And if you have two buildings or more, do you not have to have a foundation for each one of them?
Isn't there a basis upon which this building must be erected? So you've got God's purpose concerning Israel, and of that purpose, Jesus Christ is the cornerstone. You have a purpose concerning the church, and you have Jesus Christ as the foundation of that spiritual building also. But you'll notice there is an addition here as far as the church is concerned, and that's this, that we are built upon the foundation of what? Apostles and prophets. That's not mentioned in the other verses. Peter never mentions the apostles and prophets as being a foundation, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. And who are the apostles and prophets? Well, you've got to go over to chapter 4 to find out who the apostles and prophets are.
And what is that? Let me read it. Chapter 4, verse 10 and 11. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles and prophets. All right, now let's go back, because there was a parenthesis there. Go back to verse 8. Wherefore he said, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. What were the gifts that he gave unto men? Apostles and prophets, and pastors, evangelists, teachers.
So these apostles and prophets mentioned here are not, and listen to this, they are not the 12 apostles of the gospel. We are built upon the foundation of a new order, the apostles of the ascended Lord. Now, if you don't make that distinction, I'm going to ask you where you're going to put Paul. For the promise was made unto the 12 disciples that they would do what? Or the 12 apostles, rather. That they should sit upon judging what? All right, now, if you've got any more than 12, you're getting into trouble, aren't you? Unless you recognize a distinct order, a new order. And the church is built upon these apostles and their teachers. Now I want to go to another aspect here, leaving that for the moment. I want to come back to this thought. We spoke about the building and these builders that were so busy that they had no time for the Lord Jesus Christ. They had no place in which they could put him. Their schemes were so filled up and so regulated that I just looked at him and said, he don't fit. Just don't fit. Now where would we put it? You know why? Well, I'm going to use a modern parlance. He would not bow down to them. He would not come down to their level. He would not accept their place. Do you believe that, friend? You follow through the Gospels and you'll find this, that they were willing to listen to him until what? Until he crossed their plan. Until he crossed their purposes. Until he began interpreting the scriptures a little different to the common interpretation. Until he began to rescue the word of God from under the debris and the rubbish of their own interpretation and laws. That's when they crossed him. Began to say, this man, we can't use him. There was a time when we thought he'd make a wonderful adjunct to us. We could have used this man if he hadn't gone off on this tangent. I know some other men that they've said that about too. Too bad. That man had to go off on a tangent like that. We could have used a man like that. He has talent. He has ability. But poor fellow, he's got lost. Oh, you're smiling, but beloved, it's one of the biggest tragedies of our day. It's one of the saddest things that's happening. That they haven't a place in the scheme of things for those who are understanding the word of God and seeking to make it plain to us. You just don't fit. And I can tell you of men today, and I'm beginning to enjoy the same, I really say that. I'm beginning to enjoy the same experience. Doors are being shut all over the place.
Where you once were able to go in, now you're not wanted.
Same message, but that doesn't make any difference.
You don't fit.
Now let's go to 1 Corinthians again. 1 Corinthians 3. And you'll see something here too. I read this in your hearing for this very reason. Verse 10, chapter 3, verse 10. According to the grace of God which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. Now let's go to verse 11. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is laid. Paul said, that's the foundation I've laid. Now then, take heed how ye build thereon. Now he's not talking about the world. He's not talking about the outside. How is the Christian going to build upon that foundation? You see, whether we like it or not, friends, whether we want to admit it or not, the truth is we are building. Now, what are we building and what with? You can't touch the foundation that's been laid. You can't destroy the foundation. Because we saw that it was a tried stone, it was a sure foundation founded. You can't harm it, you can't touch it. Oh, that's where we ought to sing old Martin Luther's hymn again. A mighty fortress is our God. A bulwark what? Come on, you Lutheran. Never failing. You see? But what you build on it in the way of a superstructure, that's what's going to count. Look at his text. But let every man, verse 10, let every man take heed how he build thereupon. Now, verse 12, he jumps again. Now, verse 12, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, then there is a change in the figure. Wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. Now I think we are justified in putting there not only the fact of the individual's life of service, which is the usual interpretation of this, the kind of service that I render. Is it wood, hay, stubble, or is it gold, silver, and precious stone? If it's according to the flesh, we're told it's wood, hay, and stubble. If it's according to the spirit, it's gold, silver, and precious stone. The varying degrees. But I believe this can be interpreted in another way this morning. Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone of what building? The building of God. God is building. Now we've already seen that it makes a tremendous difference what calling you belong to. Is that right? Are you following me or am I getting ahead of it? It makes a tremendous difference as to what calling you belong to. For don't you see, if you think you belong to this calling, you're going to build with the materials that belong to that calling. And if you belong to this calling, you're going to build with the materials that belong to that. So that if you get into a Pentecostal dispensation and you start building with materials that belong to that, I'll guarantee you that it's going to be wood, hay, and stubble. Because we're not in that dispensation. We belong to this dispensation of the grace of God, in which also it is called the church of the mystery, the secret, and the foundation and the calling of that we need to know so that the materials we build, and that means teaching and truth here, is in harmony with that. Let me give you a rather crude illustration. I'm going along the street, probably it's Los Angeles, because I have we've got some friends from Los Angeles here. But they have some fantastic buildings in Los Angeles. Not that they don't have any here. We're getting some downtown too. But what a ludicrous thing it would be if you saw a building and the first story was Grecian in architecture. And you said, my, isn't that beautiful? Look at those colonnades. Aren't they just delightful? And then you raise your eyes and you look at the second story and you say, what happened here? Why, that's Spanish. And you scratch your head and you say, what sort of an architect was that? He starts off on the ground floor with Grecian architect. Suddenly takes a turn and it's Spanish. And then the next 7 or 8 stories, I look and I say, wow, my, no need to ask what that is. No windows, just a solid framework. Why, that's American architecture, I know that. You say, well, that's no architecture. That's just a monstrosity. And believe me, friends, when you take things out of the Old Testament and try to make them apply to today, you take things out of the Gospels and the Acts that seemingly are all right, but you try and apply them today, and then you look at your building and what have you got? I tell you, friends, you've got a spiritual monstrosity. And Paul says, take heed how you build.
We're building, and I'm going to use a phrase, we're building, friends, whether we like it or not, we're building the dispensational block. And we better know just what belongs to us today so that we can use it and not erect a false superstructure on the foundation. Now, you know what the story is, don't you?
It says here that every man's work is going to be tried. And he himself shall suffer what? But shall not be lost. He himself shall be saved, so as by fire. Many of you dear friends that were with me in earlier days will know what I'm going to say, and I'm asking for your indulgence. But Paul doesn't say anything about it here, but he's using a figure of speech that was so powerfully and indelibly upon the minds of these people, they knew exactly what he was talking about. In the city of Corinth, there was a beautiful marble temple. It was erected to one of their heathen deities. No need to mention names. But it was a colossal building, beautiful, adorned with precious stones, silver, and all this ornamentation. And then all around that vast temple were little shacks, huts, mud huts, wooden buildings of the poor people. You don't have to go back to Athens to see that sort of thing, do you? I've seen it right here in Phoenix. A colossal building of a religious nature. And very humble and mediocre buildings all around. Well, now it so happened that in Corinth there was a fire that started. It swept through that vast area and it took all those shacks of wood, hay, and stubble and it destroyed them. But the temple remained. The fire couldn't touch the marble. Don't you see? And Paul's taking that illustration that was so vivid to them and said, that's the spiritual counterpart. Your building. What are you building with? Now, I know it refers to service and all that thing, but I believe it goes deeper, and we need to remember that we're building, and let's be careful lest we fall into the same error and have no place, like many today, for he who is the foundation stone, Jesus Christ. What a wonderful thing it is to be able to build upon him with the right kind of material, taken from the right parts of the Word of God, until we are established in that faith, and able to walk in perfect harmony with the will of God.